1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we have communion services, we read this passage of scripture, but I would like to go on and read past that portion of scripture also. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now we're getting into the meat of my message today. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many die, or many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we could turn some of those things aside. Got it? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged in that manner, or in any manner. Weak, sick, sleep. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. My, my, what a verse of scripture. Yes. Verse 32. We are judged. We are chastened. We are saved. If I had a title for this Bible study this morning, Sunday school adult class, I would call it Understanding Membership in God's Family. Understanding Membership in God's Family. Number one, this epistle is written to the family of God. So the words we are reading are written to we who are members of the family of God. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, it's because we didn't judge ourselves. Right? When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And if we judge ourselves, we could cause God to drop the switch. The willow stick. The chastening rod. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord for this reason, that we should not be condemned with the world. And I think it's so interesting that the very fact that we have problems and the world doesn't, the very fact that he chastens us and he doesn't chasten the world like he does us, is not a proof that God is against us. It's a proof that he's for us. Amen. It's a proof that we are the children of God, that we are in his family membership. Praise the Lord, somebody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Okay. Now, aren't you glad you're a member of the family of God?
Yes.
In spite of the spankings, in spite of the chastisement, I'm glad I'm a member of the family of God. No, we were all born into our natural family. Membership was not a choice. In the spiritual family, we have been chosen by Jesus himself to be members of his family. Now there's a little story that I heard a long time ago, and I think it bears repeating. It goes like this. A man, an older man, was teasing a brother and sister. because they looked absolutely nothing like another younger sister. You got the picture? The brother and sister politely explain, we're adopted. You know, that's why we don't look like our younger sister. Our younger sister is our parents' natural daughter. Well, the teaser, the man, was embarrassed and he began to apologize. And they said, they interrupted his apology and they said, well, don't apologize. She couldn't help it. We were chosen.
That's good.
Got it. Jesus said in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So, we have been chosen, folks. We have been adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. And that's the highest honor in the universe. Praise God. Praise God. The world's sins end in condemnation and judgment. When the world sins, it all ends with them being condemned, them being judged and condemned. Okay, look at S&G. That's my abbreviation for Sodom and Gomorrah. They sinned, and they sinned, and they sinned, and finally, God said, I'm going to go down and see if it's really true. You know? See if it's all together like I smell up here and see it up here. And so God goes down, he looks, that's it, destroy it. Sends a couple angels and says, go and destroy the place. And of course, you know the intercessory pleading prayer of Abraham for his nephew and family that was taken captive. And that's another message all in itself. But we're talking about when Sodom and Gomorrah sins, when the world sins. Condemnation, judgment is how it all ends. And so Sodom and Gomorrah sinned against God. They sinned terribly against God. And so God judged that sin, and God condemned them with an overthrow. He sent down fire and brimstone from heaven to fall on them and to destroy them. The interesting thing is, that's not the end of it, folks. Do you know that Sodom and Gomorrah, all the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, all those homosexuals, lesbians, sodomites, are going to be raised from the dead and judged again? Amen. That was just a judgment for here on earth. They will be raised from the dead and stand before God in judgment one day. Same with everybody that died in the flood. They'll all be raised from the dead. In fact, the Bible says everybody will appear before God in judgment. Oh, praise God for membership in the Lord's family. Amen. So when the world sins, it ends that way. Condemnation, judgment. But not for us who are members of the family of God. We are chastened. We are not condemned. We are chastened of the Lord. When we sin, or when we make a mistake, or when we go astray, we are dealt with by the Lord differently than the world is dealt with by the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 and let me verify what I'm saying. Let the Scripture confirm. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Quote from Proverbs. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He is not rebuking you, he is not chastening you to tell you that you don't belong to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ooh, now you know, chastisement is repulsive to some people. You know, oh man, if you correct your baby in a supermarket, and some of these people that don't understand God's word, don't believe in God's word, don't have faith in God's word, see you, they'll turn you into the authorities. Well, that's probably not the place to spank your child in the first place, and so maybe I can hooray then, you know, because Christian parents need control over their tempers. They need to take their children home, warn their children before they go to the store. When their children act up, bend down, whisper in their ear and say, recall the warning, please, because when we get home, you will smart. That's the best way to do it. Don't get smart in the public place. When you get home, get the smart stick out. It'll make your children what you want them to be, what God wants them to be. Praise the Lord. But chastisement, even in private, even in the home, it is repulsive to so many people. But to me, it's not repulsive. To me, it's the Word of God. And to me, it is a sign of hope. I believe, if I recall, remember right, that whenever my dad would chase me, it told me, hey, he cares for me. He loves me. He's concerned about my future. Sometimes you don't realize those things until you mature a little bit. But when you do, when you look back in retrospect, you can say, my dad loved me. My dad really did love me. He cared about my future. He didn't want me to be a repulsive person to society. And so he taught me manners. He taught me to say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, thank you, please, may I, and so on. Rather than, I'm good, you know, so on. Don't care what you say. So while chastisement is repulsive to a lot of people who read psychology books but don't read the Bible, who are up to date on modern psychology but are way behind the times reading the Bible, they don't believe in spanking. Now, if there's somebody here who doesn't believe in spanking, you're out of the will of God. I'll tell you that right now. You are out of the will of God. You don't love your children like God loves you and wants you to love your children. And I know there are Christians that do not believe in laying a hand on their children. That is anti-scripture. Anti-scripture. You spank your children, but you do it with calmness of spirit yourself. You are spanking them at the wrong time when you are angry with your children. Okay, this is not a lesson in child rearing this morning, but I just have to know what the Bible says. Let's read on. Okay, my son, despise not thou the spanking or the chastening of the Lord, nor faint without rebuke of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Not one escapes chastening, because not one was born without sin. Not one was born perfect. Not one was born trouble-free, angelic, etc. He chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. If he endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Does God make it clear here? I think it's very clear. But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, I think he's emphasized the point over and over. I think we have it repetitive enough here to say, I think I know what he's talking about. Then are ye, I call this, illegitimate, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. His goal for us to be like Jesus, be ye holy. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay. So my Father, your Father, your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father cares about our future. He has a bright and beautiful future planned and prepared for every one of us. And He's bending over backwards to save us. And we're running from the chastening rod. And we're excusing ourselves. And we're arguing with God. And here God is just doing everything He can to save us. And He even has to, if I'm reading this right, in 1 Corinthians 11, He even has to kill some of us to get us saved before we go to hell. Doesn't it sound that way? Some weak, some sipping, some even sleep. It's really something. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather have God, I know this is a crude terminology, kill me. I'd rather have God take my life before I became an apostate. Amen. And was lost forever. Amen. And I had prayed that. I had said, God, do anything to me you have to do but save me. And Lord, I pray in sincerity, please, Lord, cripple me, blind me, deafen me, anything you have to do, but I've got to be saved. Anybody else feel that way this morning? Amen. So, when the world's judged, they're condemned. When we're judged, we're chastened by our Father. Our Father chastens us so that He doesn't have to condemn us with the world. Because the world is destined for condemnation. No question about it. I'll put it this way. Their condemnation is certain. And I think we've already read it. Our chastisement is certain. You know, if I could just wise up and say, oh, why don't I just shape up and straighten up? And then I won't be under all this chastening all the time. I won't be going through all these painful experiences. You ever notice that? Some Christians are always having problems. Well, I don't know why. I'm not going to judge anybody. God's the judge. We have a Heavenly Father who can judge much better than we can. You know, His judgment is perfect. But you have to wonder sometimes. You have to wonder. But what I see is God's love. I see a lot of people's dogged determination to have their own way. And God just, back to the woodshed, let's try it again. A little harder this time. And it just keeps going on until He can get us to see His point of view, which is the right point of view, and help us. Amen. God's wanting to save us. He's trying to save us. So the world's condemnation is certain, and our chastisement is certain. And I'd like to say there is a distinct difference between God's family and the world. Amen. God's family and the world, a distinct difference. There is a vast difference between wrath and chastisement. Some people need to learn the difference better than they do. Wrath, that's for the world. The Bible says God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is busy every day trying to save every one of us, trying to shape us up, trying to get us to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now read the text again. When we are judged, we are chastened with the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The world's going to be condemned. We're going to be chastened, and we're going to be chastened so that we will not be condemned with the world. So folks, have patience. Have patience with our Father who wields the chastening rod, who is trying to bring us to submission to His will, to lay aside our own will and live according to His will. So, question, why can the world do wrong and get by and I can't? How come my neighbors can go to the movies and go dancing and go drinking and man, if I try, oh, I get in all kinds of trouble. How come they don't and I do? Well, Let's talk about it for a minute. The big answer is right up front, because they are not his children. He deals with his children with their future in mind. And he deals with the world knowing their future too. Okay? I remember when we were kids, and I had all my friends in the neighborhood. Your children make friends with other kids in school, in the neighborhood, on the block, wherever, in the church. But the neighbor kids could attend movies. That was Popeye the Sailor Man and Tom Mix and who else? Gene Autry. Those are those terrible shows we couldn't go to in those days. Now I think Christians have them in their homes. But we were disallowed going to those movies. Gene Autry. We couldn't watch Gene Autry. Gene Autry's a good, clean man, as far as I know, you know. But we couldn't do it because we were in the wrong crowd, the wrong place, and other things could slip into our brains that our parents didn't want in our brains. So, we respected our parents, so we got in trouble. Well, I got in trouble. Movies cost a dime in those days, no tax, no money for popcorn, so on, you know, so. But I remember sneaking off one time, and, I got it. Neighbors didn't catch it. Their dad didn't care if they went to the movie. They gave them the dime. I had to steal mine to go. You know, when I got caught, I got whipped. They didn't get whipped. Their parents didn't. Their father didn't care. My father cared. Because my father had my future in mind. These people have no future. You know, maybe an education and a lot of money here and great success, die and go to hell. If they're not saved. Okay, so the neighbors could attend movies, we couldn't. They received no punishment for going to the movies. They saw nothing wrong with it. Their conscience didn't bother them. But I was under my dad's rule. I belonged to a different family. That's why I couldn't do it and get by. They could do it and get by. But it wasn't until I matured that I finally realized. Do you know what the word realize means? Real eyes. But it wasn't until I matured that I finally saw with real eyes. Until I finally realized that my dad was watching for my soul. And if I did the same things the neighbor kids did, I would be chastened, but they wouldn't. And there are many times that I wished I was a neighbor to my dad. Until I understood. Now turn with me to Psalm 73. I'm taking my time because we have new converts especially that need to hear this so that the devil can't tempt them, lie to them and tell them they're lost when they feel like they've been estranged from God for a brief period of time. I say brief because life is brief. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish. Boy, if this doesn't describe me and a lot of you who were raised in the church. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as I am or as other men. Neither are they plagued like I am or like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more heart. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Doesn't that sound like some of your old friends? Behold, these are the ungodly. These are those who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Because isn't that what everybody wants? Success? Everybody wants money? Everybody wants more? That's not always God's will, friend. Huh? You can get into trouble. The Bible says they who have a will to be rich fall into many temptations and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. They shoot themselves through with many sorrows. Don't seek riches. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I've seen people pull out of poverty, self-imposed poverty, when they have put the kingdom of God first. Miracles happen. Computer printouts, I don't know how thick, of bills they owe, wiped out, gone, when they seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So let's say it again. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly, and that's what everybody wants. Those who prosper in the world increase in riches. And then he concludes, I must have cleansed my heart in vain. This is living for God's not doing me any good financially at all. God doesn't ask us to be rich, just solvent. And wash my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Oh, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Then he says, I went to church. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. So some of us may have wondered, just like we read here, why can't I be rich? Why can't I be a successful businessman? Why can't I be a famous singer? Or why can't I be a popular movie star? Or why can't I be a great athlete? Why can't I? Because God's your Father, and you're in a different family. This is not our kingdom here. We're in His kingdom. And perhaps God has other work for you to do than throw and catch a football or beat the cover off of a golf ball. Or go out and make a lot of money that you can't take with you. And if you don't send it up, it's going to burn. Okay. No. I'm going to pause here and ask a question. Anybody want to be dismissed from the family of God? Or you just assume stay and take the woodshed experiences and the weakness and the sickness and the sleep so He can save us ultimately. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we just ask You, Lord, to consider, Lord, the spirit among these people in this place, Lord. We want to be saved. I feel it so strongly here this morning, Lord. These people want to be saved. And I pray, God, that you will confirm their salvation this morning, that they are Your people, Your children. We do belong to You, Lord. And we say, have Thine own way, Lord. You're the potter. We're the clay. We're Your hands. We love You. And we thank You for amazing grace that accepted us into the family of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, amen. So anyway, if anybody feels like God's training program, complete with chastisement, is too hard, let's just take a quick look at the Apostle Peter. Remember when he said, Lord, if that's You, let me come to You. And Jesus said, come on. Peter got down over the side of the boat, and the winds were boisterous, and the waves were high, and Peter got down out of the boat and he started walking toward Jesus. Remember, that was a pretty brave act. The rest of them stayed in the boat. But anyway, Peter's out there walking, and pretty soon he looks around, and he sees what he's walking in, and maybe he loses a little faith, and he starts to sing, right? And what does the Lord say to him? Oh, thou little faith. I thought that was more faith than I had. I'd have got down in the lowest spot of that boat I'd get and put my hands over my head and got ready to plug my nose or whatever. Stay alive, survive. Peter got out of the boat. That's pretty good faith, really. But here he gets rebuked by the Lord. The Lord Jesus says to him, oh, thou of little faith. Oh, thou of little faith. I thought, Peter belonged to Jesus. He's in the family of God. He's receiving a little of that correction, a little of that chastisement there. Jesus, I'll go with you to the death. I'll never deny you. Oh, Peter, 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 before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Quit your boasting, Peter. Quit your bragging. Frail human flesh. You know, he got rebuked again. He's in the family of God. The Lord didn't rebuke the others that would say the same thing that didn't belong to him, I don't think. Okay. And you know what Jesus said to him once? Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that are of man. Well, the way I look at all of that chastening from the Lord Jesus on Peter, there is a God. Jesus was preparing Peter for a ministry, a great ministry, a very great ministry. And I ask you this morning, wouldn't you rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, I would. I'm with Moses on that. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Daniel 12:10. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, oh man, get a nice bright fire engine red pencil and underline that. Let that verse stand out before your eyes. I love that verse. But Daniel's talking about the last days, and he said, many shall be purified and made white. Boy, we can come to church and we can rejoice in that phrase. We're going to be made white. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. His blood made me white. But then the next two words says, and tried. And then we're all ready to dismiss and go home. We don't like being tried. We don't like woodshed experiences. We don't like being spanked. But we should learn to love it. We should learn to say, yes, Lord. I love this, Lord. Because I know you're loving me through it. You're teaching me. You're training me. Amen. Amen. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly. People are just going to go on and live in their sin. And it says, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Got it? Two groups of people in the world. The wicked and the church. The wicked and the church who looks wicked sometimes. Who doesn't always do what's right. Listen to them again. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. When they get specks on their white garments, they're going to be tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They're not being dealt with in the same way that God's people are being dealt with. But the wise shall understand. How many are wise here this morning? How many understand? How many know what's going on in their own lives? Do you know the part that God is playing in your life? Raise your hand if you think you do. Good for you. Good for you. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to know what's going on? So that when something goes wrong, you don't have to go and say, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he's screaming, I haven't forsaken you. In fact, I'm trying to get your attention.
Amen.
I began this morning saying there are people who feel saved and they're lost, and there are people who feel lost and they're saved. And I'd like to get this straightened around so we all understand. Psalm 37 verses 1 and 2 say, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the work against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. When I see a wicked man who is just thriving successfully in his wickedness, I say to myself or anybody in my hearing, that's short-lived. He might as well live it up because he's just got a short time to live it up. He's going to wither as the green herb. He's going to fade away. And when somebody says, see that man over there? He's a multimillionaire. I say, temporarily. Temporarily. Let no man boast of his wealth or his expertise or his riches. That stinks in the nostrils of God. He's talking about money when he says, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. No, we need money to live, but we don't need so much money that we're going to forget God. And that's the message of Holy Scripture. Praise the Lord. If God's blessed you with a multi-million dollar inheritance or something, do something for the kingdom of God with it. Man, you can only eat one meal at a time, wear one suit of clothes at a time. They're not going to put $1,500 suits on you and put you in a casket? No, I won't. They have one suit on you. One of everything. You might have a gold casket, but it'll just be one casket. One hole in the ground. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're all in this thing. God's trying to save us all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, back to the text in closing. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Okay, let's just take a look at the world right now. See how bold and brazen they are in their speech, in their dress, in their actions, in their pleasures. Just look at the world now and see how bold and brazen she is. Look at the saints now. Paul said he's a spectacle unto the world. Paul said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Moses said, or the Bible says of Moses, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And you can read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and you get halfway through the heroes of faith, and you can see where it turns from all these victories to all of these seeming defeats, which were not defeats. They were continued victories. Praise the Lord. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Okay, that's the world now, and that's the saints now. But look at the world later. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And go ahead and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment, and it will be condemnation. And how about Luke 16, when he said, son, remember to the rich man, thou in thy lifetime hadst thy good things and Lazarus evil. But now the tables are turned. Now the shoe is on the other foot, as they say. Now it's different. That's you now, rich now. But Lazarus is going to be rich later. He was poor now. But just wait. You just wait. Son, remember, in your lifetime you had it good. Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 13:42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I talked about the world now, the church now. The world later, now let's talk about the church later. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. That's the church later. Are we willing to take the chastisement the Lord has to give us so that we can be in this church later, this victorious church that's going to be blessed by God? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You heard about the man who walked into the big bank, and he said he wanted to talk to a personal banker. They got him a desk. He sat up there and he said, I'd like to open a joint account. Some of you heard me tell this. I'd like to open a joint account. And she reached for the proper papers and put it in the typewriter. And she said, and what's your name, sir? And he answered all the questions. And time was going by. And finally she said, and who would you like to open this account with, this joint account with?
And the man just calmly looked at her and said, "Oh, it really doesn't matter, just so they have a lot of money." Got it? We're poor. We went in and got signed up to a joint account with Jesus Christ. He's rich. Praise the Lord. And we write checks on his account. That's what we do when we pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We get his signature on the check. Joint heirs of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I am in the church of the living God and a member of his family. Paul said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be." I'm willing to wait for that glory. I'm willing to suffer throughout this life. I'm willing to be persecuted. I'm willing to be a spectacle unto the world just so I might share in that glory. Praise the Lord. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us in that latter day. As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Close with Revelation 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Now this is not the world now. This is not the saint now. This is not the world later. This is the church later. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Shall we stand? Praise God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious word, your precious gospel, your absolute promises, Lord, that the world is enjoying themselves right now, Lord. And many Christians are giving their lives, suffering martyrdom around the world, throughout the pages of history. And even today, we read these reports, Lord. Oh God, we look at the world now, and we look at the church now, and we look ahead, we look into the future, and we see what you have planned and prepared for those that love you. And Lord, what is awaiting those that have rejected you and do not love you? And Lord, all we can say this morning is, thank God, we love you. Thank you for receiving us into your family, Lord. We love you, and we'll suffer whatever persecution, whatever chastisement we must, Lord, to be members in your family. Thank you, Lord. And for those, Lord, that feel saved and are not here this morning, I pray that you would open their eyes to their need of salvation through Jesus Christ, that they cannot trust in their good works, but they must trust in your work on Calvary's cross. I pray, Lord, for those here this morning who feel lost but are saved. I pray, Lord, that they pick up their Bibles and read. I pray that they would take this message to heart. I pray that they would begin to rejoice in the God of their salvation. I pray, Lord, that they'll lift their hands and clap their hands and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. No matter how ugly they feel or how terrible they feel inside themselves, feeling unsaved, feeling lost, Lord, when really it's just you dealing with them. It's you chastening them. It's you trying to get their attention and draw them closer to you. I pray for them, Lord, those that feel lost but are saved. Oh, God, let them have that blessed assurance this day. I pray in the holy name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.